Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. Beginning with a conversation with my friend Andrea Picciotti-Bear, who joins us every Wednesday, we want to talk about a federal appeals court in Philadelphia. They ruled against the Little Sisters of the Poor. And if you're wondering, gosh, the Little Sisters of the Poor are in the news and in the courts again. Yes. Governments that constantly push liberal ideologies, progressivist frameworks and policies, see organizations like Catholic religious organizations, including organizations of sisters, groups of sisters, who want to do nothing more than uphold the dignity of human life and the care of, in this case, women and children. And so the Little Sisters of the Poor are now brought to the courts again in their long-running legal dispute over contraception mandates by the government. And a lot of this raises a tremendous amount of issues that really need to be talked about. Andrea and I will discuss how the Federal Appeals Court is really pushing third-party interests ahead of and making them state mandates, or at least making them state interests, and therefore bringing them against the Little Sisters of the Poor in violation of the First Amendment rights, in violation of establishment clauses. And so at the end of the day, Andrea and I both agree that we will see victory for the sisters, but not without a tremendous amount of cost and tremendous amount of effort litigating at the level of the courts. We go on from there to speak about how recent data from the Centers for Disease Control show that our younger generation are among the most depressed and anxious in history. Jack Reigert has found that many of these young people know something is wrong in society, but when they search for answers, they're unsatisfied with what they hear, and let's face it, the repleteness of social media for the answers don't actually hit the soul where it needs to be hit, which is the need for finding the fullness of truth in Christ Jesus and his church. So Jack joins us to talk about breaking free from this dictatorship of relativism. And finally, we speak with my friend Peter Laffin. When Donald Trump announced his candidacy in 2015, few experts gave him a chance. He wasn't part of America's political elite. And yet here we are at his second term. We talk about all of this after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, August 20th. It's the Feast of St. Bernard de Clairvaux. Today's news brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance for seniors in need at visitingangels.com. Pope Leo is calling for this Friday to be a day of prayer and fasting for peace. He made the announcement during today's general audience. Pope Leo said the day is an act of imploring the Lord to grant us peace and justice, and to wipe away the tears of those who suffer because of ongoing armed conflicts. The Israeli military will move forward with plans to take over Gaza City. According to an Israeli military official, troops reached the city's outskirts and have begun moving tents in for people who will be displaced. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is also weighing Hamas' ceasefire proposal. The entire southern border wall will be painted black at the request of President Trump,
who understands that in the hot temperatures down here, when something is painted black, it gets even warmer, and it will make it even harder for people to climb.
U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem says funds for the painting were allocated in a massive spending bill that was passed earlier this year. The Trump administration will now screen immigrants applying to enter the U.S. for anti-American activity. A policy alert was released that said immigration officers may now consider if applicants have, quote, endorsed, promoted, supported, or otherwise espoused the views of a terrorist organization or those who support or promote anti-American ideologies. And has this happened to you, where you pay for a window seat on an airline only to find out there isn't a window? United Airlines and Delta Airlines are facing class action lawsuits for allegedly charging passengers more for window seats that were actually next to an opaque wall. It appears many airplanes have at least one row with no window. A law firm estimated both airlines are likely to have sold at least 1 million windowless seats each. From your Ave Maria Radio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. A federal court has ruled against the Little Sisters of the Poor in their long-running legal dispute over government contraception mandate. We look at this latest challenge to religious liberty with our friend Andrea Pichotti-Bear, who is legal analyst for EWTN News and director of the Conscience Project. You can follow her work at conscience-project.org. Andrea, great to speak with you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marcus. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Everything I've seen so far doesn't make this particular bit of news any more heartening. So for the sake of an overview for our listeners, if you could just present what has happened at the level of the federal court.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure most of your listeners are like, wait, what? The Little Sisters of the Poor are back in courts again? Yes, they are. You know, the Little Sisters, along with a number of faith-based groups, pushed back against the Affordable Care Act's contraceptive mandate, which was not even part of the Affordable Care Act, but was a regulation that was created basically to provide for women's preventative health care. And that mandate said that contraceptives, including abortifacients, needed to be included in covered employee health care plans. Mm-hmm. The Little Sisters, as well as EWTN, sued, saying, hey, this goes against our religious freedom rights, our free exercise rights, in violation of both the First Amendment and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is a federal law that basically puts a check on the federal government, saying that the government can't interfere with free exercise unless a really high bar is reached. Well, they sued and they won, and then they won again in the Supreme Court. But this case has been brought by states, Attorney General, particularly the state of Pennsylvania, when Josh Shapiro, who's now the governor of Pennsylvania, was the Attorney General, challenging the religious and moral exemptions that were crafted to accommodate people like the sisters, and saying those exemptions, these rules to allow people to conscientiously object, were in violation of the Administrative Procedures Act, which is basically a rule to stop the government from doing things that Congress doesn't intend.
Right.
And so there's like layers upon layers of irony here, Marcus. It's clear that although this decision came down not favorable for the Trump administration's defense of these exemption rules and at the expense of the Little Sisters, I'm pretty confident that whether it's the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court, the sisters will be victorious.
Yep.
But there's a good reminder here that it's not without expense.
Yep.
It's the expense of the legal team that's representing them, Beckett Law, which is amazing, but also a diversion from their attention from their mission, which we all know is a beautiful mission of serving the elderly poor in the U.S. whose families, or whether they don't have families or their families can't provide for them. These sisters are doing heroic acts of mercy and shouldn't be asked to choose between their mission and their faith.
In 2020, in California versus the Sisters of the Poor, the Supreme Court upheld at that point that the sisters could in fact fall under the broader exemptions of the ACA and the RFRA. So once again, you know, this is mildly disheartening to say the least.
It is, and it is a bit of a reminder, I think, for the Supreme Court that some of the justices, particularly Justice Samuel Alito, spotted that there was a not clear, decisive victory in the creation of these exemptions, saying not only were that was the government allowed to create them, but that they did so well, that they did it in accordance with kind of all the administrative rules that you need to do that. that was flagged by one of my favorite justices, Justice Samuel Alito. But he laid out basically what I think should be the guide for courts and for the government on what do you do in order to respect religious freedom when you come up with blanket rules.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the federal district court judge in this recent case didn't pay any attention to Justice Alito and instead paid attention to kind of some concerns of one of his colleagues, Elena Kagan, who said, whoa, man, I think that the first Trump administration may have been hasty in coming up with these rules. You know, we all watched the creation of rules. It was very collaborative with different groups to make sure that conscience rights were being respected. Initial attempts just weren't allowing that appropriate distance. They were almost asking for employers to be facilitators of getting employees that wanted them or creating a system to facilitate contraception, even if it wasn't in the plan that they were offering. And many groups said, look, we cannot be a part of this. It's inconsistent with our beliefs. Again, you know, irony upon irony, not many nuns are in the business of looking, or none should be in the business of looking for contraception. But the idea in all of this is just collaborating in something that has intrinsic evil is something that should be respected. And I think that, you know, again, it's a good reminder that when someone says maybe we're not going far enough for protecting these litigants, that the court should be mindful of it. We don't want the Supreme Court to go beyond what they have to do, but oftentimes you need to be mindful of the rascals out there that are going to try to put the Little Sisters and other groups like them continually back in a position of defensiveness where they really shouldn't be defensive against the government. Instead, the government should really let them do what they're called to do.
You know, considering exactly what you just said, that big bad government is taking to task and frankly bullying at this point Little Sisters, I can't imagine that's a good look. That's a good optic on any media promo. But as faithful members of the Catholic Church, how concerned ought we to be that the Federal Appeals Court is really putting forth the state's interest in what is essentially a third-party right over and above the sisters' very legitimate religious liberty claims?
You know, that's a really, really great point, Marcus. You know, the issue is, does the state of Pennsylvania even have a dog in this fight, right, to challenge the rule that was created by the federal government to protect the constitutional rights of a group of objecting Americans. That wasn't an issue that was raised or resolved by the district court. It was just basically taken for granted that they have the right to challenge because there would be a burden on the state's coffers when people had to go to Medicaid, for example, to get different services. But I do think that that's worth raising on appeal, that Pennsylvania and other states that have jumped on this bandwagon to challenge these very, you know, just kind of very narrow exemptions don't really have a right to be before the courts in the first place. But even if they are, the rules, the federal government isn't supposed to begrudgingly accommodate. It has an affirmative responsibility to accommodate religious beliefs and conscience rights. And I think we should always, all of us as people of faith, talk about the greater the accommodation, the better, because no American should be forced to act against their will.
You know, you consider all of what you just shared, it becomes very clear, Andrea, that that in this case, the Federal Appeals Court in Philadelphia is favoring secular exemptions. And it, like you and I have talked about before, how this really brings up Establishment Clause concerns, because very clearly this is violating neutrality toward religion.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right that there is now an awareness that the federal government has. Fortunately, the second Trump administration seems to get it.
Yep.
But, you know, this has gone kind of a ping pong for from administration to administration, the Biden administration was not as favorable, obviously, the Obama administration. So I guess, you know, the issue is just keep praying for the sisters, and keep standing up for religious freedom.
Andrea, always a joy to connect with you. Thank you for speaking out about these issues.
Thanks, Marcus. Have a great day.
You too. My guest has been Andrea Pachotti-Bear, legal analyst for EWTN News, director of the Conscience Project. We've been talking about the Little Sisters of the Poor facing a new legal assault in the federal appeals court in Philadelphia. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, host of Ave Maria in the Afternoon and Unveiling the Covenants. Ave Maria Radio has been at the forefront of dialoguing faith at the intersection of all things pertaining to human flourishing. We need your help. Our infrastructure is in urgent need of updating. We want to ask you to support us in this summer campaign. Every gift, no matter how big or small, will be useful to bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Thank you. You are broadcasting hope with us.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Recent data from the Centers for Disease Control show our younger generation are amongst the most depressed and anxious in history. Jack Rygood has found that many of these young people know something is wrong in society, but when they search for answers, they are unsatisfied with what they hear. He joins us to talk about breaking free from this dictatorship of relativism. Jack is co-founder of the John Paul II Renewal Center and host of the Become Who You Are podcast. He's also a writer and a speaker, and he has an MA in theology in John Paul II studies from the University of St. Thomas in Houston. Jack, it's great to speak with you. How are you?
Marcus, I'm doing great. Thank you. Great to be with you.
I'm really glad to be speaking with you, and I want to begin by affirming you for considering this issue, because this is something that's on the forefront of the minds of many parents of children in this demographic, that there's a widespread sense of despair about the human existence, and you see it across social media. You are not only diagnosing the problem, you're prescribing a solution. So let's start from the outset here. Tell us about what's going on with young people.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. You know, you can be in our work with young people, especially doing high school retreats and working with Gen Z. So we're talking about maybe 15, 16 year olds up to, I call it up to Marcus, to about 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And they always tell us every time I'm going into a presentation, you know, they don't have an attention span. These young men won't understand the message, et cetera. And it's wrong every time, Marcus. You know, when you don't speak down to them, and we start to ask questions, they're looking for the truth. Yeah. And when they hear the truth, it's a power of Jesus Christ, Marcus. It's amazing. You have to couch it a certain way. You have to speak a certain language. But at the end of the day, they're not satisfied, right? You know, they're in the porn culture. A 100% of the young men we meet now have been exposed to hardcore pornography. they know they're looking at just the beauty of a woman. Something's still going on in their heart, and yet they see her as an object, and they understand something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They the older ones that are to vote. You saw this in the last election. You know, they're voting. They voted for Donald Trump. They don't even know why, and I don't want to be partisan here. They don't even know why, but they know something's wrong. And so we reach out to them, to those young men, and we meet with them. And we have an apostolate within our apostolate called Claymore, which gives them the structure,
yeah.
And they're meeting guys almost their age, maybe a little bit older, that have been on the journey a little longer, and having a dialogue with them. And it's very satisfying. They lean in, Marcus. They lean in. And, you know, however it comes out at the end, we don't push it, you know. Pope Benedict XVI and John Paul II, you know, they wanted the power of the gospel to speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never pushing it down on them. It's just asking them, what do you feel like? You know, what's going on? And it's amazing how beautiful it is. It's very satisfying for us.
Jack, you highlight many crucial realities, one of which is the way we as adults have failed the young is somewhere along the line, we embraced a system of mediocrity when it comes to preaching and teaching the faith. And we started giving them platitudes instead of the fullness of truth. And so we wonder why so many are leaving the church in hordes, and those that are still here are unsatisfied with the answers.
When I came back into the church, and one of the things I always relate to them, when I came back into church after a 20-year absence, actually, I met John Paul II, and he said exactly what you're alluding to. He never pulled back. He
mm-hmm.
just challenged those young people, but he did it in love, right? You know, St. Teresa of Benedicta, who he canonized, you know, she said, you know, never speak the truth without love. And don't talk about love without the truth, because one without the other becomes a destructive lie. So when I came back in, I always remember the first chapter of John. I'm just reading the first chapter of John. I said, guys, listen to this. You know, Jesus turned to the disciples of John the Baptist who started to follow him.
Right.
You know, and so just to give you a little background. So John the Baptist just yells out. You could hear it. You know, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, and he understands who Jesus is, really is, for the first time. And so two of John the Baptist's disciples start to follow Jesus, and Jesus just simply turns to them and says, what do you seek? What do you seek?
Mm-hmm.
And then they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, of course, where are you staying? You know, we heard something. Where are you staying? We want to hear a little bit more. And he just said this, Marcus. He said, come and see. You know, no propaganda. No ideology, nothing to sell them. Just come and see me. Come and see the person. And there's power in that, you know. And I'll just end this by saying, you know, Jesus didn't come for sin management. He came with power. And
yep.
I think that earlier statement that you made, you know, this mediocrity that we see, we forget that Jesus is a person. And if we, you know, all we have to do is make the connection, right?
Right.
I'm not the Messiah. I'm just the messenger. And Jesus comes with power. And we see it over and over and over again, Marcus.
Which is reflective of the work you do at the John Paul II Renewal Center. And I guess on a pastoral level, one of the great concerns of many parents, knowing that it's inevitable that their children have been at some level exposed to the heinous lie of pornography, and if not that, mm-hmm. Depression, anxiety, the
yes.
replete nonsense that they're finding on TikTok and social media. In light of all this, very pastorally and very practically, how can adults and parents introduce the young to Jesus Christ?
Yeah, so if you're talking about really young, we have an apostolate called Love Ed, which helps parents actually speak to their younger children. We're talking about grade school here, you know, fifth grade through, say, seventh or eighth grade. So that's a beautiful thing. We have the parents come with us, and we show them how to do that. But now when you're talking about high school, hopefully you filled them, Marcus, but too often they didn't, right? They never really shared the faith. And it's not always their fault, because we know the millennials, you know, the baby boomers, you know, and I'm a boomer, you know, we didn't really, you know, we didn't give them the tools, and the church watered this down. So we want to come alongside them, and we want to help them. So we have an apostolate called Claymore. You can just go to our website and you download it, and it gives you the structure. It all comes from John Paul's teaching. And he defined the battlefield like this, Marcus. He said, first, you know, Satan's going to attack the individual human heart. Yeah. That's what you're describing here, you know. And then he twists and distorts what marriage and the family are all about, and then the culture, and he, you know, you can take down the whole nation this way. So we just need to start to bring them back in, you know, into this relationship. Pope Benedict XVI said it so well. He said, you know, your faith will never be an ethical decision or some lofty philosophical idea. It's always going to be in an encounter with an event, an encounter with a person.
Yep.
And he said, if you encounter that person, you'll get a new horizon, a new way to look at the world, and a decisive direction for your life. So we just show parents, and we show other men especially. So we're working with a lot of young men. So we're showing their dads, their older brothers. We're showing people that just love them how to disciple and developing a framework that John Paul gave us for restoring first the dignity of the person, understanding the beauty of eros, Marcus, telling them those passions and desires that you have, and you're looking at pornography. Let us show you another way. Mm. Just open those up. This is so important, Marcus. The most important takeaway from this conversation we're having is don't tell them those are bad. Stuff their passions and desires down. They already know indulging them doesn't work. There's a third way to open up their temptations. Every time you get a temptation, and they have plenty of them out there today, it's an invitation to prayer. And we just simply show them how to do this, to open up the temptation. Don't be afraid of it. Open it up and let Jesus Christ untwist what Satan has already twisted. And they see the power in this. And one more thing, Marcus, if I have 30 seconds more, these men that are mentoring them, discipling them, really, they go through their experiences. They're just a little bit older, a little bit further on the journey. And what happens is they come clean and they just say, hey, I had a porn addiction or I had a problem with drugs.
Right.
You know, I almost got divorced and this is what I found. And so we have a structure that helps them do that.
Jack, I need you to know how unbelievably valuable this conversation has been to many parents and mentors and teachers listening. Thank you for your time. My guest has been Jack Reiger, co-founder of the John Paul II Renewal Center, host of the Become Who You Are podcast, and we've been talking about the reality of depression and anxiety and sexual sin amongst young people and helping them break free by encountering Christ. I'm Marcus Peter.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness in crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
St. Joseph's Helpers provides minor home repairs free of charge to those most in need in our community, especially veterans and the elderly. Your business can help by donating funds, construction materials, and equipment, or even planning a volunteer workday for your staff. To schedule a conversation on ways your business can partner with St. Joseph's Helpers, visit sjhelpers.org today. St. Joseph's Helpers, giving dignity, spreading hope.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Michigan's Catholic Biblical School Ministry unpacks every book of the Bible to deepen your relationship with God. Engaging talks from live expert teachers make reading the Bible a prayerful, inspiring part of our faith. These adult faith formation classes start this September in dozens of parish locations and online. Learn more at cbsmich.org. That's cbsmich.org.
I've always prayed, but it wasn't until Pope Francis declared 2021 the year of St. Joseph that I committed to daily morning prayer. My husband Ron and I did the consecration to St. Joseph and started to ask him for intercessory prayer. I always knew the power of prayer, but with our dedication and being intentional, I gained clarity. I went to adoration more. I meditated with Christian music more. I sat in silence more. I looked for God revealing himself to me, experiencing epiphany moments throughout the year. Prayer guides us in a way that nothing else can, because in prayer, God is guiding us. My prayer time was increasing, and my relationship with Christ was growing. I started to talk to Jesus more throughout the day. I truly began to understand how prayer can lead us to creating a relationship with Christ, a relationship he desires with each and every one of us. Pray and let God reveal his power to you. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. When Donald Trump announced his candidacy in 2015, few experts gave him a chance. In fact, to be honest, they gave him barely a chance at that. A decade later, we can hardly go a week without seeing more evidence of how far the establishment of America's classic political elite, how far it has fallen. This palpable decline is the culmination of years of eroding public trust. We want to take a look at four core historical events and basically steps that led us here, this complete erosion of sociopolitical trust from the establishment. Joining me to talk about this is my friend Peter Laffin, who is the In Focus editor and deputy director of commentary at the Washington Examiner. He has appeared in numerous places, and it's always a joy to connect with him on this program. Peter, great to speak with you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marcus. It's great to be with you today. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, and I'm glad your voice is back.
Thank you. Yeah, I had bronchitis last week, which is why I couldn't join you for a segment last week. But, you know, I don't know if it's good that people can hear what I'm saying more clearly, but, you know, I guess I'll let the audience decide.
Well, I think it is. And I also greatly appreciate the fact that you compiled these four, that you wrote this article compiling these four specific historical events. And before we start talking about them proper, I think it's important that we address the elephant in the room, that sociopolitical, the trust of the masses of the ruling elite, if you will, is at an all-time low. I don't think we've ever seen this in this republic.
No, certainly not in our lifetime have we seen this. So there's really two theories of the case as to how did Donald Trump come to take over U.S. life and government.
Right.
And, you know, basically took over the Republican Party and conquered the Democratic Party. One theory says that he is an evil super genius, and he was able to just, you know, by the sheer power of his intellect and, you know, super villain abilities to manipulate people, overthrew a virtuous establishment that had been doing a great job, that America trusted, that were essentially the good guys. And we see the good guys in the legacy news media. We see them on, you know, a lot of times on CNN at night. Though I want to give, you know, some credit. It seems like there is a bit more of an acknowledgement that, you know, America isn't buying the shtick anymore. So that's one theory of the case, that he was a bad guy who outsmarted everyone and is manipulating the masses. The second theory of the case, which I think is the accurate one, which is what this article argues, is that he rose as a symptom of a different illness, a different sickness. Not to say that, you know, you're ill or sick if you voted for him, but he was able to rise. He was able to conquer the political establishment because they had become so corrupt and had been caught so many times telling lies, predicting things that didn't come true, and doing it in this unbelievably smug way that turned off the masses. And lies that had incredible consequences.
Yeah.
To the point where we don't listen to them anymore. We tune them out now when they talk down to America, when they attempt to control the narrative. And that's more of what I think happened in America in the last 10 years, is that their failure led to Trump's rise.
I agree. There was a certain egalitarianism that existed in the political parties in on both sides. We need to be very honest about this, on both sides, that led to a continued erosion of public trust that paved the way, really, to just how cataclysmic each of these four events were. So if you don't mind, let's at least start with the first one, the problem of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Okay. I'm going to open there, my friend. Just go ahead and tell us about how this was really problematic.
Sure. And it's important that you say both sides, because the sides have changed.
Yep.
Donald Trump wasn't fighting against the Democrats 10 years ago. It started out, his rise in politics started with an assault on fellow Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened first at a debate in South Carolina in 2016. If we can go back into the 2016 primary for a moment, you had Ted Cruz win in Iowa. You had Trump win in New Hampshire. And South Carolina was seen as sort of the last stand to stop the Trump train. And Jeb Bush was thought to be very strong there. Marco Rubio, people who were thought to be very establishment pro-military Republicans. And at that point in 2016, Republicans didn't critique the Iraq war out loud. They didn't criticize the motives behind the Iraq war. They didn't criticize, you know, that there were no weapons of destruction there. It was still very much taboo to do that. You either supported the troops or you didn't. And right. To support the troops meant that you swallowed everything. Trump got on stage that night in South Carolina, right before their primary, looked at Jeb Bush and said, "Your brother got us into this war. They said there were weapons of mass destruction. They knew there weren't weapons of mass destruction, but they lied to us and told us anyway."
Right.
And we don't even know today what that war was really about. And I thought that was, wow, that was a watershed moment in American politics, that you could go into a Republican primary and say that out loud. So we have to remember, Donald Trump, you know, he's brandishing his anti-war credentials now. He was the original anti-war Republican of this generation. And so here's, you know, essentially what happened in Iraq, just a quick reminder for everybody, just for the context. The American public was sold the Iraq war based on the idea that we were under immediate threat from Saddam Hussein's regime in Iraq. Not, you know, to build democracies or to create an ally in the Middle East. Those are the rationales that came later. Originally, we were sold this war because we thought we were about to get nuked. You got to remember, in 2002, 2003, we were very much, you know, in PTSD from 9/11. We thought that, you know, the Middle Eastern terrorists could get us at any moment. And so that's how they galvanized the American public for that war. And when there weren't any weapons of mass destruction, when we found that over the next 2-3 years, you know, wow, that was a big problem for our political establishment.
Right.
Interestingly enough, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, the Republicans at the time who were pushing this most hard, they were called a group of people I'm sure your audience is familiar with called the neoconservatives.
Yeah.
A faction of the Republican Party, a faction of American conservative thought. Interestingly enough, in the Trump era, all of those Republicans, and we'll think of the Cheneys, Liz Cheney, we'll think of some thought leaders like Bill Kristol, you know, old editor at the Weekly Standard. They became Democrats. They were out campaigning with Kamala Harris. In days, weeks before the election. In fact, Liz Cheney was sort of the guest of honor on the campaign trail for Kamala Harris. So they've switched parties. So I think you're very right. It's very accurate to say this is a problem on both sides.
Well, I mean, as I follow your writings and the facts of the case, it becomes very clear that you and I are seeing this for what it is. And unfortunately, one of the things you and I have been calling out is If we completely erode trust in any one of the political parties, we stand to create a kind of unanimous, virtually dictatorship of the other. And the whole purpose of a two-party system is accountability.
Right. And if there's this uniparty blob, this this coming together of elites in both the Republican and the Democratic Party mm-hmm. to sort of form our ruling class, there is no accountability.
Right.
It's not built into the system. People inside the system, in that system, have no incentive to tell the truth, to blow the whistle. This is a big problem we've seen in elite media over the last decade.
Yeah.
In order for journalists to keep access to other people inside the elite bubble, they can't talk out of turn. They can't criticize the people in power because, you know, a lot of these journalists, especially the powerful ones, they're all millionaires too. You know, they have their own television shows. They, these are people who having access to power is their lifeblood. And so it took somebody like an outsider like Donald Trump to come in and shake up this system, to take it by the scruff of its neck. And it's somebody like Trump who could command enough attention that he didn't need necessarily to go through their channels of information. He could go directly to Twitter. And I don't know if the establishment would have ever been toppled in this way had he not been able to do that.
Yeah, I agree. We are continuing this conversation with my friend Peter Laffin, and we're highlighting the four watershed moments in recent American history that have paved the way for the loss of public trust in the establishment, and how that unfortunately set the premise for the presidencies of Donald Trump, for good or for ill. Continuing on the other side of the break, stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Catholic Charities of Shiawassee and Genesee Counties have been providing health and creating hope since 1941. It's the generosity of donors that allows them to provide necessary services such as their warming center, which provides refuge and comfort to thousands in our community. They also offer hot meals in their soup kitchens and help families make ends meet in their community closet. Even the smallest donation makes a meaningful difference. Join us in their mission by giving a donation at CatholicCharitiesFlint.org.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
As Catholics, it's not always easy to share our faith with others. As a St. Paul Center member, you'll have access to a growing library of online scripture and theology content with Scott Hahn, John Bergsma, and other leading scholars to help you encounter Christ in scripture and empower you to share your faith confidently. Know Christ, share Christ. Get started free at stpaulcenter.com/ave. That's stpaulcenter.com/ave.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, host of Ave Maria in the Afternoon and Unveiling the Covenants. Ave Maria Radio has been at the forefront of dialoguing faith at the intersection of all things pertaining to human flourishing. We need your help. Our infrastructure is in urgent need of updating. We want to ask you to support us in this summer campaign. Every gift, no matter how big or small, will be useful to bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Thank you. You are broadcasting hope with us.
If you've noticed improved sound from 990 AM, you'd not only be correct, but you have yourselves to thank. Donors like you to our Strong Towers Foundation is allowing us to make some improvements. Ave Maria Radio has a lot to go, but we wanted to thank you and share the small victories so that we can continue to transform lives while offering hope, guidance, and truth to all those that are searching. When I heard other business owners say they finally found someone in the credit card industry they can trust, I wondered how he could help me. So when Mark from Schisler CPC offered to show me where all the money goes for credit card processing with a free analysis of my business, I jumped on it. He reviewed how the industry works, where we could save, and offered a no-contract guarantee on savings and excellent customer service. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. Schisler CPC. Trust in them.
More information available on the Ave Maria website under Sponsor Business Directory.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, talking with Peter Laffin, InFocus editor and deputy director of commentary at the Washington Examiner. And Peter and I are talking about the four lies in recent American history that toppled confidence in the establishment and allowed for the presidencies of Donald Trump. Peter, I want to make sure we get to all of these core issues that you've mentioned. So let's dive right into the issue of the Russian collusion, the narratives that were given to us, and what we eventually discovered.
Yeah. So this one, if the no weapons of mass destruction controversy, if that torpedoed trust in government, this one torpedoed trust in media. I think this is when we really started to see the decline of people's trust in mass media. And the polls that you see, the graphs, it really does show around 2017, 2018, a significant decline in trust in mass media. And here's the real problem with this particular issue. Now, I'll leave it up to legal minds to discuss whether or not anything illegal happened here. And mm-hmm. You can be sure right now that the Trump administration is looking for someone to prosecute over
right.
this. Whether or not there actually was a law broken, that remains to be seen. But for our purposes, the problem here is that the first 2 years of Trump's first administration were utterly absorbed, swallowed up by the Russia controversy. It's almost difficult to remember now how all-consumed we were. Every day, the news cycle pumping out some new piece of information that might suggest that Donald Trump was secretly working with Vladimir Putin to be installed into the presidency to help Vladimir Putin's, I guess, global ambitions. And right. I don't think we ever really understood the full story behind that, what Putin's motivations would be there, but essentially that he was a Putin puppet. And as the Mueller investigation wore on, as we had the internal investigation a year later, and that connection was never really fully properly made, I think at that point the American people started tuning out what the mainstream legacy news media was saying about a lot of different things. And the fact that that didn't come to fruition should shock us now, that we spent so much time talking about that, so much time totally absorbed in this controversy.
Right.
And it turns out there really wasn't anything there. And if there was something there, it certainly wasn't big enough to warrant that kind of response. So I think that made a lot of people tune out for mass media, and in that way helped topple the establishment's communications arm, we'll say.
And like you mentioned, what that did, therefore, was not just topple how the administration and establishment were using the media. It completely eroded public trust in the media at large. Nowadays, legacy media in general is considered a public joke.
It is, and I think the Russia collusion controversy is the ground zero for that shift.
Yeah.
I think that one was very serious for a number of journalists. And to some credit in the mainstream media, we have seen some acknowledgement. Maybe we went a little too far there. Maybe we got out ahead of ourselves. I just remember, you know, and I do this as a journalist. I watch how other media are reporting things. I remember turning on Rachel Maddow, say, for the first 6 months of that, And I was personally convinced, wow, maybe Trump really is a Putin puppet. Maybe we're being led by a phony candidate. There was so much emotional investment there. For that not to pay off was, simply insane. And now we see in, Trump's foreign policy, his dealings with Putin, we can pretty clearly see that he's not working on behalf of Vladimir Putin, and that the worst lies involved in that. This is one more thing I'll say about this. The worst lies about the Russiagate controversy came from something called the Steele dossier.
Mm-hmm.
The Steele dossier was a piece of phony intelligence, and I say phony because it actually was phony. The Hillary Clinton campaign bought and paid for this intelligence briefing from a former spy, and our intelligence services, the CIA, John Brennan, James Clapper, used this piece of campaign propaganda to start all of those investigations. And now that we understand more things like that, you can see how the establishment blob was functioning and what led to its downfall.
Now, flowing from that, I'd love to expand just even that one issue, but just flowing from there, one of the ways, look, we just need to highlight this for the sake of truth, the COVID-19 falsehoods. And like I mentioned, I want to springboard off of the last conversation. The mass media did not gain any more supporters owing to this issue. If anything, their credibility eroded even further.
Right. And with the COVID-19 lies, and I mentioned this in the piece, I just call it the COVID lies because there were so many of them, misinformation, unfactual statements. If the Iraq war and the weapons of mass destruction hurt our trust in the government, and the Russia controversies hurt our trust in the media, COVID hurt our trust in our most important public establishments, governmental establishments, and in this case, public health.
Yep.
Anthony Fauci, we say many, many things we could write, and there will be more volumes of books written about Anthony Fauci. But I think for the purposes here, the important things to highlight is that in the beginning of this crisis, he looked straight into the camera and said, don't wear masks. They're useless. They might keep a big droplet off your face that somebody might spit on you, but they're not going to work for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month later, he came out and changed that and said, well, you need to be wearing masks. This is really important. Everybody needs to be masked. Children need to be masked. You need to be masked when you're outside alone, walking your dog. And what was the reason behind that shift? Well, he admitted what the reason behind the shift was, I think about 8 months later. And it turns out he was trying to manipulate the public in his first statement, manipulate the public into not wearing masks because he thought there was a mask shortage. We're Catholics. We don't lie in order to get a good outcome.
Yep.
We instinctively really distrust this kind of behavior because you don't do an evil to get a good.
Yep.
And let's say, that was the truth, that he was trying to manipulate us for a good reason, tell a noble lie. I don't think he understood, and I certainly don't think the media understood, how much damage a thing like that would do in the long run. And again, later on, what percentage of the U.S. population would need to be vaccinated in order to achieve herd immunity? Do you remember that one?
Yep.
It turns out he was fudging those numbers, and he later admitted again he was telling a noble lie about that, because at the time he didn't think that Americans would be able to they wouldn't respond well to hearing that 80% needed to be vaccinated, so he only said 60. And you see him on the news these years later talking about how he was lying and manipulating, and you can see on his face he thinks he's doing something noble. How tremendously hurtful that was to our trust in elite institutions. And finally, of course, there is the COVID's origin. This is something you and I could talk about. I would love to talk about this on the air all day tomorrow. You call me up, we'll do 12 hours on COVID origin because it's such an unbelievable and fascinating story. Anthony Fauci was undeniably part of a cover-up. And we know this because we've seen the emails now from Freedom of Information Act request. We've seen him and Dr. Francis Collins plotting from the very beginning to shift the narrative away from the lab leak hypothesis and toward the natural origins theory.
Right.
Yeah, I'll just say this really quick. They commissioned a paper to be written in Nature magazine that bashes the lab leak theory. Now, they did this very early on. They did it from a scientist, Christian Anderson. They commission the paper. They edit the paper behind the scenes. And then they go out into a press conference, and Anthony Fauci reads it as if it is independent evidence that independent scientists came up with. Days later, Christian Anderson got $8.9 million in federal grants. And the corruption that you can't possibly believe is so ludicrous. And why did he do that? Well, we're still figuring out, we're attempting to figure out why he did that. It seems, at least in my view, is that it seems he was trying to cover up for the fact that his department had been funding the research in Wuhan, China, and he didn't want to get in trouble for that. When you see this level of corruption, it's truly difficult to trust anyone in authority, and especially not somebody from the establishment as we understood it.
Yep, and that paved the way for continued eroding distrust. So now we have the general establishment of politicians, you've got the mass media, and then you've got governmental institutions that can't be trusted. And that the final issue, we've got about a little over a minute left, the cognitive cover-up.
Sorry, what was that?
Biden's cognitive cover-up.
Oh, the Biden cognitive cover-up, of course. And this is the one that's gotten the most attention this year.
Yeah. Thank goodness for Jake Tapper's tell-all, right?
I mean, he was only telling all to the people inside the establishment bubble. Everybody else could see what was going on with Joe Biden. We saw the man speak. This is the level of control that they thought they had. And this one has gotten the most attention recently. I don't think it's as big of a story in America, in the American streets, in the American public, as it is within the establishment. Because I think what really happened, the great achievement here, was that one establishment person spoke out against another one. And we've kind of normalized that now. And I guess we can thank Jake Tapper for giving that little bit of credibility back to the legacy media. But in America, no. I mean, we all watched him for years. We understood that he wasn't really, at the height of his powers.
Yep.
That's
putting it mildly.
Big four lies. Yes.
That's putting it kindly. And so we watched all of this unravel, and there are steps forward. We're running out of time, Peter, but we're going to have you on in the future because we've got to talk about how especially all of our listeners on this program can help move forward by reshaping the political landscape. Thank you for making the time today.
Oh, my pleasure, Marcus. Yes, good Catholic people, go run for office.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
My friend Peter Laffin, the InFocus editor and deputy editor of commentary at the Washington Examiner. And we've been talking about the four lies that toppled the classical political establishment as we know it. And honestly, that really is the good remedy. Good, virtuous Catholics run for office. And may this nation move towards virtue in Christ. I'm Marcus Peter.